In brightest day,
in blackest night.
There is of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your must-see Super Bowl ads.
Giving you way less than you paid for.
Here, here.
Wait a second. Wait. Nobody's actually paying to listen to this, though, right? So,
and they're still getting way less than they pay.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. Chris, so did you check the Super Bowl out, or as my dad likes to call it?
I did, in fact, watch the Super Boar, as they almost always are, except for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, you're a typical Canadian, you know, Mr. Grey Cup guy, always calling the Super Bowl a boar.
Well, you know what? It really is. Come on now. For the first half was dreadfully boring. It's not until people start getting tired and injuries start happening when actually the game
until
gets exciting.
Until Madonna comes out.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Now, did she – see, I kind of missed it.
Okay.
Now, somebody told me that she lip synced.
I don't know if she did. If she did, she did a really good job. But yeah. I'm not surprised.
She's good. Does a good job lip syncing.
Yes, she really does. But I wouldn't be surprised though, because you know why? It's too slick of a show to be done in like half an hour, or 15 minutes or whatever, however long the show is.
Right.
It's too good. Like, there's too much music going on that you don't hear. Like, where's the band? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's too good. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was lip-synced.
You see, there you go. Now, if it was like Madonna, she's like an icon of the whole music industry.
Yep.
You'd want her improv, wouldn't you? Like,
absolutely.
You know, like
absolutely,
her to react
yes.
to stuff and maybe say something. Just at the
well, yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's just too slick. I don't think that it doesn't give rise to being able to be improv at all. Like, you know, it was good. Don't get me wrong. It was interesting.
So, in other words, what you're saying is Madonna could learn a thing from you and me.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I hope she's speaking off the cuff, as it
off
were.
The cuff.
That's right.
All right, Chris. Let's continue with this. We got a good show this week.
We do. As always, we're going to start off with new this week.
Yeah, new this week.
And as always, new this week is brought to you by the Captains of the Comic Book World. Yeah, a corporal will do in a pinch, and a good sarge can work out at times, but no rank beats up the bad guys quite like our good old captains.
You're absolutely right. Why is that in comics? That, you know, like you got sarges and a couple of Sarge Steels and Corporal Lance or whatever.
There's a lot of captains.
It's all
though.
Captains.
It's a lot of captains. Well, mind you, there was Sergeant Fury, right?
Okay, but Cap America, and then you got Cap
America.
Help me out here. Yeah, you got a lot of captains.
A lot of captains.
Captain
Bly.
Captain Canuck.
Captain Canuck.
Marvel, you know.
Yep, that's true.
Tons of captains.
Captain Marvel from the Marvel universe and Captain Marvel from the DC universe. Right.
And you got Captain America from the Marvel universe, and you got the other Captain America from the Marvel universe. You got a lot of Captain America.
Yeah, a lot of captains. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, you got – never mind. All right. So, new this week, Chris, you've picked out gems, as you always seem to do.
As always.
And we'll start with Marvel, and you've got for me Deadpool.
I just realized something. You know, we were talking about captains, and I think we have to very quickly talk about this. The captain of all captains, did you hear just yesterday that the captain of all captains, Captain Kirk, William Shatner himself, is going to be hosting the Juno Awards?
Oh, that is so awesome.
I thought
you were going to say the captain and Tennille were going to
Well,
that would have been
that would be a completely different thing.
Right.
So, once again, captains rule.
Yes, they do. So the Junos, eh?
The Junos. Right. Well, I guess, you know, he has done some songs, some spoken word.
Yes, you know.
Mr. Tambourine Man.
Good on him. He is a Renaissance man, and he'd be perfect for the job.
That's right.
So you got Deadpool number 50 for Marvel.
Yes.
Dead, part one.
Yeah, this was an interesting comic, I thought, because, you know what, it's got like everybody in it. It's got Wolverines in it and Psylocke's in it. And
Captain America in it?
Possibly. I didn't quite see that. But Kingpin's in it, and Typhoid Mary's in it, and Hydra's in it. And
it's got
everybody in it. So I thought we have to mention this one because it looks like it's going to be a great storyline. I read the first couple pages. Very interesting. It kind of does a flip-flop on timelines there, but it looks really cool. And it looks way too cool. Even Tombstone, I think, was in the back of the comic. So, you know what? Lots of great characters in it.
That is cool. But be forewarned, it is parental advisory.
Well,
some mature themes.
As Deadpool usually is, he's a little more racy, you know. Not racy, but a little bit of language. Not like, a little more, I don't know.
A little bit of racy, no. A little bit of language,
well,
no.
Well, I don't know how to describe it. It's just a little more adult,
yeah.
Right? It's the themes are more adult. That's
so, in other words, parental advisory.
Exactly.
Beware.
Exactly. And that is by Daniel Way. And Barberi. I can't remember what his first name is here. It's Carlo Barberi.
Right.
All right.
Carlo
right. And then next up we've got, what else do we have here? We've got, now, DC Comics, as a lot of the New 52, some of the issue number sixes will be the last issue on some of them, unfortunately.
Yes.
But then we've got new ones coming out soon.
Right.
Now, here is one that I didn't think would make it past issue six, and clearly it is. It's Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, by our good friend Jeff Lemire. I'm not surprised that
he's a great talent.
He's a great writer,
right.
But I thought that book would be over the heads of most people, and clearly people are getting it. They're having a good time with it. And,
if there's a surprise, I won't even say surprise, but if there's kind of a pleasant development with that whole DC 52, it's that section, the DC Dark, you know, like Swamp Thing and, you know, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade.
Yeah.
They've been very well received.
They have been, and I'm surprised, but luckily they have been. And it's really a book that I've enjoyed, but I didn't think anybody else would. I didn't think it was being very well received, and I hope it keeps on going because it's a great book. And Jeff Lemire is a great writer.
All right. The Killing of Colonel Quantum. See?
Yes.
Yeah,
there you go. Colonel. Well, Colonel. I guess Colonel is higher than Captain, right? So
it is?
I think so. I don't know. Okay. I'm not really up on my military.
I believe you.
All right,
Chris. Let's go to Dark Horse. And you picked out Richard Corbin. Murky World.
Yeah, I picked this out because, you know what, I just think it's
nice
cool.
Nice decapitation cover, by the way.
I think it's cool that Richard Corbin is still out there, still producing comics. Of course, he's got this fantastic style that really, you know, I want to say it reminds me of heavy metal, but of course that's where he did a lot of his early work, was in Heavy Metal Magazine.
Right.
But I just think it's cool that he's able to come out with cool one-shot comics, you know, with swords and sorcery and dead people and all kinds of cool stuff. And Corbin's just such a great artist and great storyteller. I'm so happy that it's out.
Excellent. So that's Murky World, Richard Corbin, one shot from Dark Horse.
That's right.
All right. And where is our last pick? Oh,
last
this is
pick.
Our weekly kids pick of the week.
That's correct.
That
yes.
would be the weekly kids, that pick, of the
kids
week,
pick right? of the week usually is weekly. Yes.
All right. And it's Kevin Keller, number one.
Yes. Well, of course, this not only is this an Archie.
Everything is Archie.
Well, of course, it's Kevin Keller, which I think is cool that he's getting his own book now. And, you know, they're having fun with it. Even in the middle of the comic, they've got retro fashion with Kevin Keller. So they've got, like, you know, Kevin Keller's all dressed up in different kind of outfits.
And
they've got
stuff, right?
Some of the girls dressed up in 50s fashions and stuff like that. It's just kind of a neat
50s bowling shirt on. He looks like Fred here from Scooby in that 70s leisure suit.
And you know what? It's an Archie number one. So for those of you who plan on speculating, you know, who knows what could happen with an Archie number
one. And also, of course, the big news around Kevin Keller, gay character.
That's right.
His own title.
That's right. Exactly.
Cool.
Which is very cool.
All right.
Yeah.
So that is that's going to be it, I guess, for new this
that
week.
That is
right,
it for new this week.
Not like you weren't prepared for this.
Well, you know, I was busy.
The last book on the pile.
We were busy talking about, you
Kevin
know, Kevin Keller and stuff. Anyways,
oh Kevin,
here is some Josie and the Pussycats for you. Here you go. Oh.
Josie and the Pussycats, long tails and kiss the hat.
sounds like the Jeffersons.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Right? It does. Moving on up, on up.
Hey, a great segue from, of course, the Archie Kevin Keller.
Well, that's why I chose that, yeah.
Oh,
that's
right. Yeah, okay.
Right. Right. See?
You're way ahead.
I knew what
of
I was doing. I just was a little late on getting there.
Way ahead.
All right. Well, now we've got Comic Culture Mailbag, as
right.
always. And Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by Dr. Sinister, now hiring stupid good lookings to help him take over the world.
Ah, you stupid good looking.
Stupid. Remember that from the Flintstones?
Oh,
wasn't that
was
great?
Awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Remember, and the best, you know, the best one was when you know, they're in his lair and he's on the on like the TV screen,
yeah,
and Barney or Fred's trying to change the channels.
Right. I know.
Hey, we only got one channel on this thing.
Right. Remember when they're trying all the doors and they're trying to escape and then they're trying to talk to him,
right,
keep him occupied.
Right,
and
right,
go,
right.
Yeah. Why would you want to rule the world anyway? Think of all the taxes you'd have to pay, or something like that.
And then, anyway, of course, they start doling out the old judo chop chop.
Yes, yes. All right, Chris. So what is in the Comic Culture mailbag this
week?
Well,
here we go. It's actually a question directed towards you.
Good.
Hey, Walt. I'm planning a con weekend getaway this year. Which con do you recommend? And that's from Nick from Whitby.
Nick from Whitby. I know a Nick from Whitby.
Hmm, wonder if it's the same guy.
I don't know, but that guy, he never met a buffet he didn't like.
Oh,
a connoisseur of fine food is what
right,
I'm saying,
right.
Nick, if you're listening, man, I meant that as a compliment.
He's not listening.
Right, fair enough. All right, Chris. Well, listen, you and I are veterans of cons. You help me with this. So
all right,
okay.
Well,
Nick wants. He's a comic fan. He wants to get away for a weekend. Obviously, you know, he's got the picks of.
I would say, okay, well,
San Diego.
Right. Well, so okay. Well, I think one of the key things is it also depends on when he has time to get away. Right.
Yeah.
So because there's San Diego Comic-Con, there's Chicago Comic-Con.
Well, they're both in July.
They're both in July.
Fan Expo.
Fan Expo is in
August.
Well,
I don't think he'd want to go to Fan Expo.
Well, no,
he's just driving
he's
down
Toronto,
the 401
yeah.
there, yeah.
What about the New York, the Big Apple?
Right, the New York Comic-Con
New York
is
Comic-Con.
Good, right?
And then what's the other one in New York? What's that one called? The
C2E2.
C2E2,
thing,
yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
it is. Yeah, that's Chicago, but yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking, okay, right.
Right, but there's a couple in New York, the big one, and
yeah.
then there's San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he's planning away on the weekend, you know what I would do? What I would recommend to Nick, first of all, I don't know what he's into in terms of if he's a back issue guy.
Right.
Honestly, if Nick is a back issue guy,
right.
I'd send him to Wizard World Chicago in early August.
Well, you know what? There's also that, and it depends, you know. I got to say, like, one of my favorite conventions is the Pittsburgh Comic Con.
Right.
And that's coming up this year, the weekend of April the 20th. And Stan Lee is going to be there this year.
Stan Lee!
So, you know, if you wanted to get an autograph from Stan Lee, that would be the convention to go to because
yeah,
he's going to be there.
That convention will only have, like, 7,000 guys in line for Stan, whereas the Chicago one will have 72,000.
Right, exactly. And I got to say that, you know what, the Pittsburgh Comic Con, although it's a smaller convention, it's tight with comics. Like, you know, it's just comics, whereas
yeah.
when you go to Fan Expo, Fan Expo has everything.
Or San Diego.
Or San Diego.
Or
they have all those
right.
all those big,
that's
big
my,
things.
That was my point about
yeah.
the Chicago Con, too.
Right.
Is it's really strong in old back-issue
right,
comics.
Exactly, yes.
Right, exactly. So if Nick's into really strong back-issue comics, a place like Pittsburgh,
yep.
a place like Chicago,
yep, yep.
the Wizard World. If you're into the glitz, into the checking out what Marvel and DC have, and you want to see the Warner Brothers
right.
booths, and you want to see maybe actors and famous people, and then you got to go to New York or San Diego, right?
Right, right. And then of course, if you're into like the indie stuff,
yeah.
there's also like you know the Ape
in San Francisco,
San Francisco,
and well for him TCAF down
TCAF
the road.
TCAF down the road, yeah,
right.
but that wouldn't be anything for him.
Yeah,
but I was thinking more of Ape.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, listen, London has a con coming up. I don't know, Nick, if your budget is across the sea.
Yeah.
London.
Hey, if you're planning on
Stan Lee's going to be there.
Taking a getaway. Man,
that's next week, I think.
Or what about that big one that's in France? That's
the world's
largest
it's
one.
It's in January, but it's yeah. not really American comics. I think.
No, but it's still a celebration of comic art, right?
Right,
so,
right,
I mean, if
right.
you if you wanted to get high culture,
yeah.
you could go to France and,
yeah.
you know, check
well,
out.
The good thing, I guess, about Comic-Cons, too, is the major ones are in really good urban centers, which have a lot to offer outside
right.
the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like what I would recommend to Nick is if you're going to, say, Chicago or to San Diego, you know, please don't spend the whole flipping weekend in the convention hall.
No.
You know, Chicago is, man, a gorgeous town. New
absolutely.
York City,
yeah.
you know, obviously
absolutely.
You're going to be shopping in Manhattan
yeah.
and stuff. But
yeah. Go to the convention. But, you know, you don't have to be there for the entire every minute that it's open.
Right.
Get there early and leave early. Leave a few hours early before the con ends and go see some of New York or Chicago or San Diego.
Yeah, you know what you do, Nick, is you check the happy hour schedule at the local bars and you plan your day around that, pal.
You know what? There should You know what Comic Book Daily should do?
What's that?
Is that it should have a forum where if you're going to a particular comic convention, where to eat at those particular places. So if you're going to San Diego, where should you go eat? Because that's always a big thing is, you know, where do you want to eat and everything. Right,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't, you know, and spend some money. Don't go and just eat off
McDonald's.
A lunch truck or a McDonald's. Oh. Go and have yourself a good meal somewhere. Because,
right.
For example, if you go to Chicago, you got to go to Bob Chin's.
Bob Chin's,
yeah.
Fogo de Chao.
Places yeah,
exactly. Like that. You're right. All right, Nick, thanks for the email. And I hope we helped.
Well, I think we probably did just a little bit anyways.
All right. Chris, let's jump over to a new feature that we've started a few months back, the trailer trash feature of
yes,
the show.
Yes, I love this section of our new show, or our show rather.
Chris, it is a bumper crop of trailer trash.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
This week. And it's all because of that Super Bowl. And there were so many ads put on during
the how you keep calling it Super Bowl.
You know what? I meant Super Bowl. Sorry. Super Bowl. And there was what do we have? We had the Star Wars
Super Bowl trailer. Of course, Star Wars is coming back into theaters in the new 3D version. And that starts, geez, I think it's June, July. I'm actually not too sure exactly when it starts.
But. You know what? I don't know because we get Canadian TV and I didn't watch much of the game, but when I did see the ads, I think they were the Canadian ads.
Yes.
Were these ads during the actual game, or were they during pregame, or were they during...
During the game. Because I watched the game, and right. I saw most of these ads during the game.
So these ads, they're paying like $3 million for 30-second
spots.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Wow.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, so Star Wars came out, and then we saw the Amazing Spider-Man trailer. Was that now, hold on, I didn't see that during the Super Bowl ads. I think that just came out on
The Amazing Spider-Man trailer
came out on Monday night.
Came out on Monday and that's for that. Remember you and I discussed that in June 30th the June 30th the movie's coming out, but they're releasing some a big preview.
Yes, right.
In certain movie theaters at big cities.
There's only
the world.
like
New
12
York,
different
Los
cities.
Angeles,
yeah,
Chicago.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Very limited. Only I think those cities only added up to 1 billion people or something.
I think so. That's
right. Limited release.
Now, however, I did see the Avengers extended trailer during the Super Bowl, and it looked awesome.
Oh, really?
It looked amazing. Yeah, I'm so pumped for this movie. I can't wait to see it.
All right,
I'm going to be one of those, like, you know, I'm going to have to go to the VIP theater, get my tickets, and, you know, I can't
play the fanboy to the hilt,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's what it's all about, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to put on my Skrull mask.
Yes. Now, Battleship, which everybody thinks Battleship's going to tank.
Yeah.
Everybody. You know?
Well,
and
I saw the ads.
And the trailer was...
I saw the ads. I got to say, it actually looks pretty good.
Really?
You know, it really doesn't have much to do with the game that I noticed. I mean, people were talking, so maybe I missed them saying stuff, but I shouldn't say people, because in the room I was watching the game and people were chatting away during the commercials and I was trying to hear everything, but I didn't really hear much of, like, you know, B2, you sank my battleship or anything like that. I didn't hear anything like that. It just seems like it's like alien invasion, but instead of it being, you know, they attack the Pentagon or they attack, you know, the White House or something like that, they attack all these ships in the water first.
Right.
But it looks like a decent movie, and it has Liam Neeson in it, and he's always a great actor as well.
Excellent. Well, what other I guess properties, movies, comic book?
Well, then we got John Carter.
Yeah,
John
Carter.
Of course, you know, a lot of people...
John Carter had a Super Bowl ad?
It did. And you know what's funny about that is a lot of people still don't really know much about John Carter.
Right.
I thought that John Carter was one of those pulp characters that people would have crossed over to, you know, people our age would have known about it. But, you know, nobody in the room that I was at knew who John Carter was. John Carter, Warlord of Mars, of course, by Edgar Rice Burroughs. And, you know, I really thought
John Carter was like, it's the poor cousin to Burroughs' Tarzan. Right,
right. So, but interesting ad. I thought it looked great, but I can see why people are confused by it because...
Yeah. I've seen ads for that, and it looks very kind of stunning.
Yeah, it really is. It's visually stunning. It's a great way of saying it.
All right. What else we got?
Then I didn't see this one, but the G.I. Joe Super Bowl ad also came out that day. came out during the Super Bowl, rather. I guess it would. The Super Bowl ad came out during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I guess. Wow. So G.I. Joe, John Carter, Battleship, Avengers, and Star Wars.
Yes. All in the same 2 hour. This is
the superhero Super Bowl.
It really was. Yeah. It really was, yeah. The only thing I know about the new Super Bowl movie is that it's going to start.
A Super Bowl movie?
Sorry,
I missed that one on the news.
G.I. Joe movie, I should say, is that it stars The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and Bruce Willis, among others. So I hope it's going to be good. I know the first one didn't get very well received, so let's hope that this one does.
All right, Chris, let's end trailer trash there.
Yes.
Before we hit hard the industry news, why don't you give us a little bit of soothing music?
All right. Well, this one, remember last week I had some new music for you, and this one is another one I've never played before on the air.
Right.
And let's see if you recognize it.
You got me there. I'm going to say Three Dog Night.
Oh, good guess. This is Wings.
Oh, Wings. Like that's Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney and
yeah,
Wings.
Like I knew that.
Yes, that's Magneto and Titanium Man.
Oh, that is awesome.
I thought that was neat. Yeah,
that's a good
tune.
I
did a little research and found that one the other day, so that was pretty cool.
Well, Chris, good work.
Thanks.
All right, let's get into industry news. And industry news is brought to you by your local comic book shop. Hey, it's cold. Sales are a bit slow this time of year. Be a hero to your local comic book shop. Drop in, say hello, and pick up a comic or two.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right, now what do we got up next here, Walt?
All right, Chris, let's just dive into we got the January sales figures for comic books,
yeah,
novels.
This is very interesting.
Yes, it is.
You know, even for those of you who aren't really all that interested in facts and figures, you're going to find this month's facts and figures pretty interesting.
Interesting. Even if you're not interested in them. We're going to make them interesting. You're going to like this. Okay, Chris is now standing on his head reading this stuff.
All right. Oh, boy. Okay.
All right, Chris. So Marvel just barely wins the month in terms of dollar share and barely wins the month in terms of unit share.
Hold on. Wait a second here.
Wait. Back that up.
Beep, beep, beep. Do we not see – maybe I'm reading this wrong – Does DC not have a
DC,
higher unit share?
Yeah, I am so sorry. DC wins unit share.
Yeah, so Marvel has the dollar share, but DC has the unit share.
Right, and that, of course, is because most of DC's books are $2.99.
As opposed to?
And Marvel has a bunch of $3.99,
right.
Much more.
Right.
So they're getting a little bit more buck per issue sold, and that's what skews the numbers. But, you know, there's a percentage or two either way.
Exactly.
They're basically neck and neck.
Yeah, I agree. Right. Yeah, for sure.
And what's interesting is the dollar share anyway It's roughly speaking split down the middle, 35 for Marvel, 33.5 for DC, and 31 something for the rest
else,
of the guys,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, you and I discussed it before. We'd like to see the rest of the pack at a little bit higher, like at a 40.
Yeah, but
30
but this
and
30 isn't,
for
this
the
isn't
other.
Bad. This is
yeah,
pretty good.
It's not
so.
Bad.
This
they're getting up there. Of course, Image leads with Dark Horse and IDW
you know,
close
that,
behind.
I have to say that that must be that's shocking to me. I mean, this.
Well, you know what?
It must be Spawn, Walking Dead.
It's Walking Dead graphic novels.
You think so?
I'm telling you, it's Walking Dead graphic novels that's carrying the day for Image.
You think so? Eh?
Yeah, they're the largest selling graphic novels. You know, this year,
right,
and continue
right.
to be,
right.
and it's the Walking Dead graphic novels that really carry the day for.
All right,
for,
fair
for,
enough.
For
yeah, okay.
Right. But you know, a good showing for the other, like I said, Dark Horse, Image, and IDW.
Even Dynamite Entertainment's at almost 4% there.
Dynamite. Yes, Dynamite, and I mean that's good. I mean. You know, you and I discussed it before. It's the same. It's as long as the pie, the whole pie grows.
Yes.
You know, I like to see numbers like a third, a third, a third are okay.
Yeah.
As long as the pie gets larger, everybody should be happy with a third, a third, a third. What you don't want to see is a dominant player with everybody else kind of also rans.
Right.
You want to see a vibrant kind of competitive field. You want to see, like I said before, I'd like to see Marvel and DC share drop at the expense of the success of the secondary players.
Right.
But everybody's sales goes up because the pie is growing.
Right, exactly.
That's an ideal world. Sorry, ideal world for
right. comic books. Now, correct me if I'm reading this wrong, but I know you will. I think you might be onto something here because reading the percentage differences from month to month and then from year to year,
yep.
It says here, so January 2012 versus December 2011, obviously sales are down, which makes sense.
Right.
It's Christmas,
December
right?
is huge.
Yeah.
Right.
But what I did like is it looks like January 2012 graphic novels are up. The comics are down like a percentage.
Right.
But the total graphic novels and total sales are down just a little bit as opposed to the year before. Is that correct? Am I reading that right?
Well, no. January 2012 versus January 2011, Chris, everything is up across the board. Comics are up 32%. Graphic novels are up 18%. Total
is that how that? Oh, sorry. Is that
yeah.
how that? Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
up. So everything
that.
Is up. So the pie is growing.
Oh, that's good. Okay,
which
that's
is
what
very,
I was hoping.
Very good.
That's what I thought at first, and then as I was reading, I thought maybe I was reading it wrong. So
right. Well, you know what it is. Like you and I discussed, what you picked for new this week is you know Richard Corbin stuff like that. You
right.
know, a healthy dark horse can put out stuff like
yes,
that. Those little one shots that fans will enjoy and
right.
stuff like that,
right.
and, which is very important if you're going to have a very kind of. Disperses is a varied marketplace myriad of stuff where customers, consumers can come in and just sample and enjoy a whole range of products,
right?
Which is
right.
what you want.
Fair
you just
enough.
Don't want to walk into a local comic book shop and you know look for Spider-Man and look for it, Walking Dead,
yeah, exactly.
and look for Batman
I agree.
And Superman,
yeah, for
right?
Sure. For sure.
So you need a healthy thing. Now, the surprising thing, this just boggles my mind a bit, is Marvel wins the money.
Yeah.
And yet DC this month had a clean sweep of the top 10 selling unit
that's
share
crazy. So
comic books.
The top 10 books out there were all published by DC for the January sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, and all of them were obviously the new 52 number fives.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you had Justice League, of course, the Geoff Johns and Jim Lee.
Yep.
Always leading the pack. I think that's been number one since it came out.
I think so, yeah.
I believe so.
Except for maybe Action. Wasn't Action up there at first? No?
I don't think
I remember.
So. You may be right. I'm not sure. Then you have, Batman, Action, Detective, Green Lantern, Batman, Superman, Flash, Batman and Robin. Sorry,
even,
Batman, The Dark
even
Knight.
Even Aquaman.
Yeah, Aquaman.
Makes it to number 10.
Which is great.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. I'm happy about that. I've always been an Aquaman fan, and I'd like to see that. I would love to see Aquaman get up to like you know above Green Lantern.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I would love that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
I think it'd
now,
be great.
Isn't who's
it's Geoff Johns?
Geoff Johns
who's writing it? So I think it's possible. I think it's possible that it could get up there.
Wow. Now, that means an Aquaman movie would be in the works.
Oh, man, if only. Yeah. If only. Then we could see Black Manta and, you know, all those other classic Aquaman villains like the fisherman.
Barracuda?
Sure.
Was he a king? Ooh, king Barracuda. I just want to have that heart song in there.
Ooh. Speaking of ooh.
Ooh. What a bad joke. Yes. All right. Let's finish it quickly with graphic novels. Congratulations to Batman Through the Looking Glass hardcover. It took the prize in December as the best-selling graphic novel. Invisibles, Volume 15, was second. And, of course, Walking Dead
is third.
Volume 1, amazing, is third. Right.
Okay. Well, hey, and you know, for all you Walking Dead fans out there.
Hey, for all you Walking Dead fans out there.
Hey.
Tune in.
Walking Dead starts back up again this weekend.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. So I saw some commercials. Very intense stuff,
by the
way.
It's a great series. I'm all caught up, finally.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's a great series.
So you're looking forward to it.
I'm getting my Walking Dead geek on for sure.
Right. Chris is pumped.
Absolutely.
Right. All right. Let's keep going. Oh, Chris.
Big news. Big news out of DC.
Well, what's going on there?
We got Watchmen prequel is announced.
Yes. So 35 issues of the Watchmen prequel are going to be made in 7 different miniseries.
Yep.
How do you say that? Miniseries.
Miniseries.
Yes. And it's called Before, and under the banner Before Watchmen.
Right. You know what? Now, okay. Before people bite my head off here.
Don't bite Chris's head off.
I think, you know what? Normally, I would not be interested in something like this, but I saw a look at the lineup of people who are.
You saw a look.
I saw a look.
All right.
At the lineup of people who are working on these books, and you know we've got Darwin Cook is involved.
Nice.
We've got Adam Hughes is involved. We've got what's his name? Jim Lee is involved. Like all
Chris,
these.
Those are enough.
Yeah,
don't
like you know
further.
What? Like, there's lots of great people involved in these books, and so as I said, you know, normally it's not something I'd really be interested in, but man, you know, like, I gotta check it out. These are great artists, great creators.
You're gonna check it out, but I know somebody who's not gonna.
Oh yes, that is true.
This guy's pissed,
and that guy is Mr. Alan Moore himself.
Mr. Alan Moore himself. Alan Moore doesn't seem to be happy about this whole Watchmen coming back. I'm going to read you a quote. I guess New York Times interviewed him or something like that, and he says, to the extent of completely shameless, I tend to take this latest development as a kind of eager confirmation that they are still apparently dependent on ideas that I had 25 years ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, so here's a guy that's just can't get over himself, really.
Really?
Yeah.
So what what's his name again?
Alan Moore,
thank you. And then he goes on to say, as far as I know, there weren't that many prequels or sequels to Moby Dick.
Well, no, but it wasn't the marketing machine that, you know, that we have
nowadays. Well, first of all, Watchmen isn't Moby Dick.
People might argue with you about that.
Yeah, fair enough. But listen, what I guess Alan Moore, what's puzzling here is Alan Moore seems to forget that a couple things.
Okay, what does he forget?
All right, one is that DC is a massively huge, successful comic book publishing company, publishing a plethora, yes, of varied projects, all right now, anyways, humming and successful.
Yes, I agree.
Of which they want to add the prequel to Walking Dead into the mix.
Well, you mean Watchmen?
Sorry, Watchmen.
Yeah,
Mr. Moore, they are not dependent on Watchmen. They're doing very, very well. Thank you.
That's right.
They're just, you know, exploring the Watchmen product to make even more money.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like their whole business model depends on your flipping Watchmen, stupid.
And they're not going to go broke if they don't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But they're seeing an opportunity, and they're seeing a demand, perhaps, and they're going to put it beside the 72 other things that they're doing successfully right now, and do well with it.
Well,
I hope.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
So, whoa.
Here's the thing. You know what? If we were to liken this to something like another franchise thing, like, say, Star Wars.
Right.
Okay, so there's a lot of purists out there who would say that the movies are the only thing that count. However, there are a lot of other Star Wars things out there that people love, like the video games, the comic books,
well,
you know, novels.
Weren't you and I talking last week about this 20,000 years before how the Jedi started?
Exactly, right? Exactly.
So it's like, what's the guy's name?
George Lucas.
George Lucas, yeah. Saying, oh, you know, what are they doing going back in time for my project?
And changing,
you know,
things.
Like my Don Quixote didn't go back in time. know.
That's true.
Or whatever.
That's true, yes.
But you know what I'm saying.
I agree.
It's like, hey, you know, you have a property, you have a thing.
Yeah.
You're going off of tangents.
Yeah, why not just, you know, add some storyline to it? Because clearly people like it enough that people, they're still talking about it. So why not add something to it? Why not make it a more fulfilling experience?
Chris, I'm going to fill you in.
Fill me in.
More? Bitterman.
He is a little bit bitter.
He's a bitterman. Yeah. Apparently, I'm reading more into the story, and him and the penciler,
Dave Gibbons?
Okay, yeah, Gibbons. They apparently were supposed to get, in the original agreement back in 86,
yeah.
They were supposed to get creative, control, like rights.
Right.
To the Watchmen thing if DC didn't do anything with the Watchmen property for a full 12-month period.
Right.
But I guess at that time,
yeah,
the whole concept of bundling these 12 issues into a graphic novel format, which never left print
right.
because it was so popular,
right.
was alien to everybody. And Gibbons and Moore kind of didn't foresee, and they assumed that rights would revert back to them
right.
under the clause that DC made with them on in terms of producing this property.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, DC has always retained the rights to the Watchmen.
Right.
And Moore and Gibbons thought, I think mistakenly, that they were going to get the rights.
Right.
So now it's Sour Grapes.
Yeah.
Now it's Bitterman.
Yeah.
Now it's like,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with adding to the canon of those characters.
Absolutely
right?
not. I look forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep going.
All right. Well, let's keep on talking here a little bit about.
Let's keep talking, Chris.
Anyways, about two important comic book companies, foundations, even if you will. Diamond Comics Distributors turns 30 this year.
Right.
Last week. Yeah. And Image Comics turns 20.
Yeah.
So these guys have been around for 30 and 20 years, respectively.
It says a couple things.
Right.
One, it says kind of, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it kind of says, you know, I'll say the infancy of our industry, in a sense that,
right,
you know,
right.
30 years and 20 years are established players, and yet they're only 30 years and 20 years
old. Well, yeah,
old,
that's
right?
very yeah, – that
and I'm talking
yeah.
about the current model of the comic book industry, because they're major players in the current model of the comic book industry,
yes.
whereas, okay, you know, their Winsor McCay was a comic book
right,
publisher
right.
in 1905 or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously there's DC and Marvel that can trace their origins back to the 30s.
Right.
But large institutions like especially Diamond Comics, which
right.
really is the template for without Diamond or somebody like Diamond, the state of the industry would be different. They flourished through the comic book specialty shops, and the comic book specialty shops flourished via Diamond being
that's right, that's right.
their
well,
source.
Now, Diamond wasn't the only one. You have to remember, now, back in the day, there
right.
was all kinds of different comic book
Capital,
publishers. Capital.
Multi-book.
Andromeda, multi-book, yeah. So, but now what happened was basically, you know, in the early 90s, Marvel decided and DC decided to go exclusive with different companies.
Marvel went on their own, remember
Marvel
that?
Went on their own initially,
yeah.
and then that didn't work out very well. So then they ended up going back anyways, the reason why they all, sort of Diamond ended up getting the rights to everything because they acquired Capital City, which actually had the exclusive rights to Marvel at the time.
Right, right.
So eventually Diamond gets the whole pot kind of thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But it was used, I remember when we bought our comic shop back in the late 90s, in the turn of the century, turn of the millennium, sorry, the 2000s, is Diamond, I mean, the bit of a there's companies that are signing through book distributors right now, but Diamond, say 10 years ago, really had a lock on the whole
oh, yeah.
specialty market.
Yeah.
They still have like quite a large lock, but there are other players now entering, especially digital
yes,
and other things. But that model was working. I mean, that model was humming.
Oh, yeah.
And the proliferation of comic culture into society was really during a time when comic book specialty shops and Diamond were really in sync and getting the product out to the people. And Diamond was a great way for companies to make specialty products and funnel them through to specialty shops, right? It was kind of very condensed. It was very clean. It was an efficient way to get things done. Right.
Absolutely.
And so kudos to them. And of course, Image.
Now, Image, yes.
You remember, I mean, you were working probably at a comic shop when they just started out, right?
Well, not only that, I was working at a comic shop, and then I remember they had their big debut in Chicago. They had the Image tent. There was one year where they had all the, like, Todd McFarlane and Eric Larson and Jim Lee. They were all there doing signings.
Mm-hmm.
But there was such a big fanfare around them that they had a big, gigantic tent out in the parking lot in Chicago, in the parking lot of the hotel, of course. And guys like, you know, as much as he gets ragged on, guys like Rob Liefeld, he was there, and he was literally signing autographs.
Was he inking in the parking lot?
While he was driving.
Right. Yeah. While he was having lunch.
Yeah. But he was there all night signing autographs, literally overnight. So you know what? You got to –
he was working the room.
He was working it.
Yeah, he was working the room. Good for him.
But, you know, I love the fact that Image came around because the creators basically wanted their rights to their own stuff.
Right.
And I'm hoping that now that Marvel and DC has paid attention to that and they're giving more – cash.
It's funny because when you look back at say going into the late 60s with Charlton, into the mid 70s with Atlas Seaboard, into the early 80s with guys like Renegade and Warp. All those companies were trying to do basically what Image did, which was say to the artists, say, hey, Marvel and DC isn't giving you a fair shake. Come over here. We're going to give you larger control of the thing. Yeah. But they were still trying to – the reason they didn't succeed, I guess, is they were still trying to do it within a corporate structure.
Right.
And then they ceded too much control maybe to the artists. And as a corporate structure, you're not – whereas Image took that idea that those guys did and took it to the fullest and say, this is almost like a co-op.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And Image has thankfully not failed. They've morphed a little bit.
But I think Image, you know, one of the things that Image obviously had going for them was they had such huge names at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Warren and those, the Renegade and all those other companies, they had artists that were good, but they were no...
Well, I mean, guys like Howard Chaykin went to First.
Right.
I mean, even earlier, Ditko went over to Charlton.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But you know what? Back then, it wasn't creator-driven. It was more character-driven.
Even Neil Adams had his continuity comics. Right,
right. So. Right. But it was more character-driven back then,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And by the 90s, I think, you know, probably the speculative bubble helped too.
Yep, for sure.
And,
absolutely.
But while that all imploded, Image somehow survived.
Well,
thankfully.
The speculative bubble helped, as well as digital printing and digital imaging and coloring and all that kind
sure.
of stuff. Everything was kind of coming around at the same time for Image, which obviously helped.
Right.
All right. Well, let's before we keep on going here, let's take another musical interlude here.
Yeah, we are talking way too
this
much.
This is I agree. This is another new one. I'll tell you all about it after the song.
I'm charging right.
Hey, Chris, I like that, but I haven't got a clue. Have not. Well, hold on, let me guess. Elvis Costello.
No. Oh. No, I didn't think you'd get this one. This is the song is called Sergeant Rock is Coming to Help Me.
I got that.
Part. And it's by a band called XTC.
Oh, right. I remember XTC. XTC. That's the guy that killed himself.
No. Well, I don't know. Was it?
All right. No, it wasn't. Never mind. All right,
on that note, yeah, thanks for bringing us down there, Walt.
Yeah,
All right,
listen, Barnes & Noble, remember you and I talked about they were pissed off about DC going to Amazon.
Right.
And Amazon signed that exclusive, like The Watchmen, like Dark Knight, Returns, Strikes Again, Long Halloween, all those things were exclusively sold through Amazon for a window of 6 months or so. And Barnes & Noble says, hey, screw that.
Yeah.
If they're exclusively online over there, we're not going to carry hard copies in our stores.
Right. Which is interesting. It makes sense. Why would Barnes & Noble help Amazon? Right.
Yeah. Now, Amazon, in the meantime, is expanding their publishing unit. They're actually pumicing. Yes, they are.
Pumicing?
Yeah, pumicing.
They're
pumicing under their own imprint.
Scraping the hard calluses off people's feet.
Right. And now Barnes & Noble is drawing another line in the sand, I guess.
Oh.
And they're saying, we will not carry any hard copies of anything Amazon pumices.
Pumices?
Yes.
nor should they, really.
Yeah, right.
It gets all messy with all that dead skin all over the
place. I know. Yeah. So this is a battle royale
happening in the
high-end world. The big players in retail for graphic novels and books in general.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, I don't know who's going to win this either, because you know what?
Amazon. My money's on Amazon.
Amazon is so strong.
Yeah.
So strong online, but Barnes & Noble is so strong in for the, you know, brick and mortar, right?
And you know what? What I like about Barnes & Noble, they're kind of – Barnes & Noble in the States are as much like Chapters Indigo's in Canada. And I forget, you know, our buddy Danny in England had
– Danny Champion?
Told us the name of the – the English
is it Virgin?
Yeah.
well, it might be Virgin owns everything over there.
I'm not sure. Anyway, Danny's a little bit under the weather, so hey, I hope you're feeling better over there.
Oh, poor guy.
Anyway, so each country has these brick and mortar ones, but the business model around these things is they go to these huge power centers near the big multiplex cinemas,
right?
And so I don't know. I mean, you've gone on a date with the missus and stuff like that. You go
at
to
least
the movies,
once, yeah.
And it's really nice if you kind of before you go to a movie, you head into your Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
You peruse the magazine
section.
Or after,
Yeah.
You have a coffee at the Starbucks or whatever, and you pick up a magazine or a book or something like that.
I love doing
it's really
that
good.
Kind of stuff,
It offers a great, great service, and it would be a shame if, say, somebody like an Amazon took all that away.
I completely agree.
But at the same time, Barnes & Noble also has a strong presence online, too, so we shouldn't count them out as an online player.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
It's good that they've drawn their line in the sand and they're fighting Amazon left and right.
Yes, for sure.
That's good. All right, what else we got, Chris?
Well, speaking about fighting.
Fighting.
Neil Gaiman and Todd McFarlane finally settle their court suit.
Oh, those guys have been going at it.
10 years.
Wow, since at least 68, eh?
1968, yeah. Rumble in the Jungle.
Right. No, was it about again? It was about hold on. Let me remember.
All right.
Gaiman wrote characters, helped write a few of the Spawn issues where new characters were introduced.
Right.
Sorry, what's his name? McFarlane just assumed that those were all his characters, and Gaiman later says, "Hey, you know, in Spawn number 9 and Spawn number 26, and what was that other title?
Well, okay, so the character was Angela.
Yes.
That was the major character that came out in number 9 and number 26, and then she came out with her own Angela miniseries.
Right.
So, which Neil Gaiman wrote. Now, at the time, Todd McFarlane was hiring some other big-name writers to help him out with his Spawn series to get more buzz and things like that going around in that time.
This, of course, was Image, right?
This is Image, yeah, that's right. Now, I think that comic probably came out like in – 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And then 10 years ago, Neil Gaiman's like, you know, I guess the rights came around because now Todd McFarlane started making all kinds of action figures and all kinds of stuff around around the Angela characters. And that's when Neil Gaiman was like, whoa, wait a second. That's my character.
Right.
And now they went to court over it. And so finally, 10 years later, Neil Gaiman has won, and they're saying that Neil Gaiman is owed 50% of the copyrights to Spawn number 9, 26, and Angela number 1 to 3, as well as the any of the respective future rights and obligations.
Wow.
Now,
all the parties are paying their own fees and costs.
Now, I don't know if you remember this, but this isn't the only court case that those guys have been in battle over, because I think for a little while there, Todd McFarlane had some rights to the Miracle Man properties, which Neil Gaiman had some. The Miracle Man was a comic that Alan Moore had written, but then Neil Gaiman took over afterwards. So basically for a little while there, they were kind of battling it out for those properties, and then again with the Angela property. So these guys, they're like, you know,
they're probably drinking buddies. Though. That's probably. Let's have a pint there, Neil.
I somehow doubt it.
Yeah, and what I heard, I heard that McFarlane is going to pay Gaiman with unsold Brett Favre and Matt Sundin figures.
Or I thought you say unsold baseballs.
No, Chris. Oh yeah, right. Yeah, Chris Bosch. Remember those that line of McFarlane toys, toys.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. What are we going to do? We have about 6 or 7 minutes left. Let's go into.
I think we should go to previews.
Yeah, let's go to previews.
For those of you who are new to the show, every once a month we check out the previews catalog, and of course the previews catalog is the catalog in which most comic book retailers get their product from, and so this is of course by Diamond. Diamond is the publisher where everybody gets their stuff. So once a month, we like to go through the catalog and sort of pick out our favorite item of the week. Usually there's something a little
bit.
Of the month. So usually it's something.
I'm helping you out, Chris. I'm helping you out as much as I can.
A little bit goofy.
All right.
And speaking of goofy. So my pick of the month is the Doctor Who previews exclusive white Dalek talking plush. So basically.
Wait a minute. The Dalek is the robot.
Right.
Right. There's a talking plush.
Yeah.
The Dalek.
So, you know, okay, for those who are fans of the Doctor Who series,
yes.
The Dalek is the robot that Leo likes to say, exterminate, destroy.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, and it goes around. And now you can get your own plush doll version of it.
Beautiful. And
That's right. Does
that retail for, that lovely item? What does it say?
$27.99. Now, that could be in U.S. funds.
Bargain.
It's available only in the United States, U.S. territories, Canada, and the U.K. And it says spoken phrases include exterminate, and you would make a good Dalek. I don't really quite understand that, but...
Exterminate.
And
so in the Dalek language, they go, and you would make a good Dalek?
I guess so. I guess because they take over people's brains or something.
Wow.
I don't really know how that works. Oh, I haven't watched Doctor Who in a long time.
Well, that is money well spent. Chris, and I'm sure your little spiel has increased.
Absolutely. I'm sure.
Exponentially.
Hey, at least people now people are going to be aware that it's even out there, right? I'm here to just make people aware.
You are.
And people are going to become aware with your product, aren't they?
Listen, people will... do very well by my product.
All right.
Like Chris says, check out February's previews catalog at your local comic book shop. Flip over to page 416 and behold the wonder that is the Nick Fury Infinity Formula Cologne for Men. Yeah, if you want to smell like leather and eye patch.
Who doesn't really?
And you know, Nick is quite the ladies' man.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
He was
part of the 60s, man.
Right, yeah. Right. And
free love.
And, Nick Fury's Infinity Formula Cologne for Men, it only retails for $39.99.
Wow. Yeah. So you can smell just like Nick Fury for $40.
You can smell like Nick Fury for $40.
Now, I think we have to talk about the other honorable mentions, the other colognes that are coming out in adjacent to these ones.
Yeah, and it's great. And of course, I picked Nick Fury because, you know, I picture myself the Nick Fury type of guy.
Right. Now, actually, I have a
rugged,
question.
You kind of can't see well.
Right. Now, hold on. I have a question for you here first. Now, of course, do you remember the Nick Fury movie that came out years ago with David Hasselhoff?
Of course.
Now, my question is, when you open up this cologne, do you smell like Samuel L. Jackson or do you smell like David Hasselhoff?
You might smell like the sea.
I don't even know what that means.
Neither do I. I think it was a Baywatch reference, but I think it got lost in the translation. All right. Yes. That was my first pick because I'm feeling, you know, I want to feel like I'm in charge. If I put cologne on, Chris, I want to feel like I'm in charge.
Absolutely.
And Nick Fury's in charge. He's like, he's running the show.
He's the man.
Right?
He's right.
The man. And I want to feel like I'm in charge. But now, if my mischievous side came out.
Right. Right.
And oftentimes it does.
Matches in people's toes and stuff like that.
I would take mischief.
Oh, so if you wanted to be mischievous, you'd
It's
take
called that. Loki. Mischief cologne for men. So yeah, it's Loki, of course, Thor's nemesis, half-brother.
You can smell like the half-brother.
Right. You can smell like a half-brother.
Right.
And you can smell like a guy with horns.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, so it depends on the mood you're in.
Right.
Well, you know, I think what you and I are probably getting to is maybe perhaps you should get one of each.
Well, for sure. Absolutely. That's
right. And the great part, too, is another honorable mention, of course, while we're on cologne and smelling good.
Smelling like you know, mischievous men.
Yes. I mean, you know, when you're out and, you know, and your lady friend is with you and goes, Chris, what is that smell?
What's that intoxicating smell?
Yes. And you go, well, honey, it's mischief, right?
Right.
And it's like,
right.
It sets the whole mood, doesn't
absolutely.
It? There's also... assembled the Avengers cologne set.
Yes, you can get. Now,
I would stay away from it because you get colognes called Worthy, Smash, Mark 7, and Patriot.
Right.
I honestly thought that these were condom ads. Yes.
Well, the one for the Hulk is the Smash. So I'm not really too sure how that's gonna.
Let's just stay
play
away
out
from
there.
That one right there. All right, anyway, stay away from that one because you get four. You get four colognes for a grand total of $59 each.
Right.
And if you did the math, that's $15 per cologne.
Isn't that a good deal?
No, you don't want to smell like $15, pal. You want to smell like 40.
That's, right. Hey, pal, you smell like $15.
Yeah. You smell like a cheap cigar, buddy. All right, yeah. All right, Chris, that's it. So
all
check
right.
out, hey, head into your local comic book shop. Pick up Previews February 2012 and just peruse through the book, especially the back of the book. Lots of fun things. Special order through your local comic shop and do it soon.
Well, all right. Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today.
All right. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com, click on the podcast link, scroll to the bottom, add your comments, and you can also hear us at getthepointradio.com.
And remember, one comic in the hand is worth two in the rack.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know what that means. But.
Neither do I. Please go out and support your local comic book store.
Have yourself a great day.